love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Who doesn't want more of these characteristics in their lives? Join us for this 9-week series exploring the fruit of the Spirit as we take a look into the book of Galatians and explore how God's Word teaches us to grow deeper in each of these virtues and why we should.
Morning, church. It's good to be with you this morning. We are in a series called Fruit of the Spirit, and we are in week 3. I want to give you a moment, though, if you are just joining us for this series. We did create these books that follow the series every week. The sermon notes are in here already for each of the weeks. There are fill-in-the-blanks and so forth, and if you haven't had a chance to pick one of these up yet, there are some out at the information desk. And no problem if you need to get up and go out and grab one so that when we come to some of those fill-ins and the notes, you'll be ready. If you need one, feel free to go get one. What a wonderful day yesterday. Wasn't yesterday just perfect? Well, I thought it was perfect. I thought it was perfect. Almost as perfect as this. I got to tell you, I love being in worship with you. I was talking with somebody in the lobby before service, and no matter what the week is like, this time, you know, these worship services, Saturday night, Sunday morning, it's like family. I know we're a big family, but it's family, and it just feels right and good to be with you and to worship together, to sing and to hear God's word and to fellowship. It's all good. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of that. It means more than you might know at some times. Well, anyway, I thought yesterday was a perfect day, just a beautiful day, and we did something yesterday that's kind of becoming a tradition for us. Deb and I got together with our daughter and son-in-law and our 2 grandchildren, and we went apple picking. There's Ephraim, EJ. Wait, go back to the... You notice he's got 2 apples in his hands? I guess so he's only bitten into one, but he loves apples, and he can reach up into the trees and get them. And then the next picture, this is Bryn. She's about 20 months old. She devoured that. She was having so much fun. She took that apple, and as you can see, and she just went around like this with the teeth that she has, juice dripping down her chin. I was holding her, and that's my Mets. Where's John? John, that is a Mets coat, okay? I want you to know that. Still a proud Mets fan. No, they're not in the playoffs, but that's okay. But yeah, she just enjoyed that apple so much, and we had such a great time with her. And I was thinking about this message this weekend as we were out doing that, and thinking about how peaceful, how wonderful it felt just to be spending that time with family, doing something as simple as picking apples and just enjoying being together. But I also thought of this message because we're in the Fruit of the Spirit series, and... So we went and we picked those apples. What kind of tree do you think this came out of? An apple tree, right? It's not a trick question. It came off an apple tree. Now, somebody asked last night, what kind of apple is this? This is the best kind of apple. This is, of course, a Honeycrisp. That's right. They are the best. I love these apples. It came off an apple tree. It didn't come off a pear tree. It didn't come off a peach tree, right? You don't get those kinds of things off an apple. You get apples from apple trees. Right? Seems simple, seems logical, seems like something we got to remember as we're talking about growing in the fruit of the Spirit, because Jesus makes this very simple point in John 15 that if we want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, and let's just take a moment and remind ourselves of what they are. If you know them, say them out loud with me. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. 9 fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus says, if we want to grow in this fruit, if we want to grow more Christ-like, in other words, we've got to stay connected to the tree, who is Jesus Christ. We've got to stay connected to him. John 15, this isn't in the notes, this is additional. So John 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me. Here's the key for today. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. So, if we want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, we have to remain with Jesus. We have to remain in Jesus, connected to Jesus Christ. So we keep that in mind as we talk today about peace. And I want to start with this quote from Martin Luther King Jr., who lost his life in the struggle for peace and justice. This is what Martin Luther King Jr. said: "The hope of a secure and livable world lies with disciplined nonconformists who are dedicated to justice, peace, and brotherhood." I was particularly struck by the phrase "disciplined nonconformists," because what I think Martin Luther King draws out of there for me is that if we want to be people who are working for peace and justice and righteousness in this world, one, we're going to have to be disciplined about it. We're going to have to make it a priority in our life, something that we go after and not half-heartedly, but we go after with discipline, with intentionality. And then the second thing is we have to be nonconformists. Why nonconformists? Well, have you noticed that the world is not particularly prone to make peace? Has anyone besides me noticed that? I mean, when you watch our leaders in action, do you see people who are working hard to come to peaceful resolutions and peaceful conclusions and peaceful ways of carrying out their response? Do you see that? Do you hear that in their words? Do you see that in the world? You know, H.G. Wells, back in the early 1900s, World War I, 1914, he called World War I the war to end all wars. Writing about this, he said, "This will be the last war." How many of you know that's not true? How many of you know World War II followed shortly after, right? And many, many, many wars, by one count, there's 150, and that doesn't count necessarily the small skirmishes of the wars that have occurred since World War I. So H.G. Wells was wrong. It wasn't the war to end all wars. We live in a world right now where, again, by different counts, there are 25, 30 conflicts going on around the world. Okay? We live in a world that is not at peace. We live among people who are not at peace. We live among people who don't want peace. They want what they want. They want their needs met. They want to live the life the way they want, but they don't necessarily want peace, right? So if we're going to work for peace, we're going to have to be disciplined nonconformists. We're going to have to live and act in such a way that is different than what the world at large is doing. You know, this is where God is taking us. Romans 14, 17 says that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. So if we are going to be part of God's kingdom, and if you are a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're part of that kingdom now, then part of our responsibility is to work for the peace that kingdom is going to represent. One day, there will be peace in the world. One day, there will be peace all over the world, among all people. But that's not today. Today, we are still working for that peace. God wants us to have peace. Simple idea, but it's true. God wants us to live in peace. Now, there are a lot of verses that I could have pulled out to demonstrate that. I just picked two, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. So from the Old Testament, Psalms 85:8, "I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants." He promises it. You can call God on this. You can say to God, "God, you promised me peace. I'm a servant of yours, and you said that you will give me peace, and I trust you to do that. I trust you to give me that peace." And then from the New Testament, John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Our source of peace is not in the things of this world, okay? We will never find complete peace in the things of this world, all right? Jesus didn't tell us to seek peace in the things of this world. He doesn't give to us as the world gives. I was reading about, I think her name, an actress, Claire Foy. I don't really know her, but I was reading about her. I guess she won an Emmy for portraying Queen Elizabeth II. Very talented, obviously very talented actress. And she was writing and talking about this extreme anxiety she feels all the time. And it's rooted in these beliefs that she's not good enough, and she can't act well enough, and she doesn't deserve to be doing what she's doing, and she has this extreme anxiety about all of that. You see, the world says if you get fame, you get popularity, you get money, you get, you know, acclaim, all of that, you know, this is life. This is going to make your life wonderful. That's not true, is it? We know that's not true. Google lottery winners and happiness. And read about the fact that there is no real connection between winning the lottery and a lot of money and increased happiness or contentment or peace. The world cannot give this to us, but Jesus can, and he says we will find it in him. You see, peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace isn't the absence of trouble. As followers of Christ, we're going to experience problems. We're going to get diagnoses, there you go, I could find it, that we aren't going to like, okay? We're going to get, you know, fired from the job or laid off. We're going to have family problems. We're going to have, you know, things that happen to us that are trouble. We're going to experience trouble in this world, all right? Peace is not, if we're waiting to be absent of trouble so that we can experience peace, then we are not going to find peace. It's not going to be a lasting peace. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Jesus said this in John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. We've got to look beyond the world for our peace. Where does Jesus say we'll find it? Two little words, in me. He says, in me you will find peace. Going back to John 15, if we stay rooted in Christ, if we stay connected to him, we will find peace, but we won't find it in the world. In the world, we're going to find trouble. Thomas Watson said something about this. He said, if God be our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble and peace, but God can create peace in trouble. Boy, I want to break out into song. we were singing, you know, a little bit earlier, and we sang just a snippet. From the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul, right? You know the hymn? When peace like a river, you can join me, it would help, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Whatever my lot, you've taught me to say. Whether it's peace, in this case, in the case of the hymn writer, when things are calm and things are good, at those times, or when the troubles are just rolling in one after another so that I'm constantly being buffeted by them, in danger of being drowned by them, whatever my lot, Lord, you've taught me to say, it's well with my soul. That's the peace that Jesus wants us to have. Whatever my lot, it's well with my soul. Only God can create peace in trouble. There's a lot of ways that our peace gets stolen from us, and we're going to go to those in a minute, but let me give you a definition of peace. Peace might be described as having the calm assurance that God will bring things to a good place, whatever the nature of my current circumstances. Now, how does our peace get stolen? I'm going to go through these kind of quickly, but let's take a look at some things that the Bible tells us steals peace from us. Uncontrolled desires, James 4:1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Uncontrolled desires can steal our peace. Now, I've read this verse many times, and I've thought most of the time about how, you know, he's addressing a church body, and he says, listen, you know, as you have these fights among you, okay, think about where they come from. They come from your desires. But then I read this again this week, and I thought, you know, I've never really thought deeply about the last part of that. These desires battle within you. And then I started thinking about how in our own hearts and souls and minds, we have these battling desires that disrupt our peace. Let me give you an easy example. I want to be thin and trim, and I want to eat pizza and chicken wings and double cheeseburgers. Battling desire, right? Anybody have that battling desire? Anybody? Yeah, thank you, Rick. Yeah, you know? That's a tough one. All right, I want to get along with everybody, but I want everybody to do what I want them to do. Battling desire, right? I want to have nice things. I want to have a nice car, a nice house. I want to have lots of money. I don't want to have to worry about any of that stuff. And I want to have the time to attend to my children and my family the way that I ought to. Battling desires. We have battling desires within us, okay? And what happens when we have this battle going on inside? Who do we often take it out on? The people around us, right? We let it spill out into our relationships. That's what James is saying here. This causes fights and quarrels among you. Here's the next one. It's kind of related. Feelings of envy. Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. So I look at you and I say, I want what you have. I want your looks. I want your talents. I want your home. I want your car. I want a spouse like yours. I want the things that you have. I'm envious of you. I'm discontent with what I have. And I know I would be so happy if I just had what you have. Right? The Bible says that kind of envy, it's not just spiritually and emotionally damaging, it's physically damaging. Steals our peace. Next one. Worries and anxieties. That seems kind of obvious, but Proverbs 12:25 says anxiety weighs down the heart. Anxiety is this lingering fear that I have, right, that stays with me in my mind and dredges up all those things that I should be concerned about and worried about and think about and believe are not going to turn out well, right? And these anxieties that plague us, like they plague that actress that I mentioned earlier. Another one, the desire to control others. I don't know, there's probably nobody here that struggles with a desire to control anybody else, right? But if you do, 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. It doesn't say anything about controlling other people. But it gives us four other ways to respond to relationships that we are struggling with, okay? It says we can warn those who are idle and disruptive. We can tell them, this is where your behavior is taking you, this is what the consequences of your behavior are likely to lead to. We can encourage the disheartened, the downcast. We can help those who are struggling. We talked about Freedom Sunday, and I do hope that you'll get educated about modern-day slavery. It really is an atrocity. And Lin Su will be out at a table in the lobby, and she has lots of information, and she knows a lot about this topic. And I hope that you'll take a moment and stop and learn something about this, or go online to the Set Free Movement website and learn something about this, because you may not know what you can do, but we can all pray. We can all pray. And prayer is important and effective. So we can help the weak. And then finally it says, be patient with everyone. It says nothing about trying to control people, but these are alternatives. Next one, things that steal peace from us, unanswered questions. Psalm 13, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? This is a series of questions. How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And day after day I have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Question after question after question. I read that 3- and 4-year-olds ask on average something like 73 questions a day. Does that sound about right, parents? Okay. You know, and they're easy questions, right? Like, why is the sky blue? Why is water wet? Right? Those kinds of things, right? Parents, you go nuts, right? Trying to answer these questions. Sometimes I think God is up there going, stop! Okay? You know, you're asking me questions, and if I tried to answer them for you, you wouldn't understand anyway. So trust me. Trust me. I hear your questions. The answers will come. Just be patient, right? Things that steal our peace. One more. Conflicts with others. Proverbs 29 says, if a wise person goes to court with a fool, the fool rages and scoffs, and there is no peace. You know, some people you just can't make peace with, right? And that's, I think, what the Bible is referring to here as fools. Okay, you may be a wise person who is looking to get the right thing done, but if you are in conflict with someone who is just raging and scoffing, you may not be able to make peace with that person. All right, it can steal your peace, but we don't have to let it. We don't have to let it steal our peace. So let's talk about three places that we can find peace, and here's an overriding principle for how to get more peace in our life. 1 Peter 3, 10 and 11, whoever would love life and see good days, sounds like peace to me, must seek peace and pursue it. Seek it and pursue it. In other words, it's not just an offhand prayer that we ask God once in a while. Lord, I want more peace in my life, thank you, and then I move on. This is seek it, go after it. Okay? Like when you lost your dog, okay? Or maybe you don't. I have lost a dog, okay? Anybody here have a dog run off on you? Yeah. All right, so if you, so did you go to the door of your house, open it up, and go, Rover? Oh, well, I guess he's gone. Right? No, you didn't do that. I hope you didn't do that. No, you called, you walked, you went around, you put signs up on telephone poles, you got in your car, you drove, you asked, you called your friends and tell them, look out for Rover. You went on Facebook and said, my dog is missing. You went after that dog. You sought that dog out, right? You pursued it. And this is what God said. You want peace in your life? You're going to have to seek it and pursue it like you would a lost dog. You got to go after it. Three places we need to go after it. We need to pursue peace with God, first of all. It all starts with God. And there is an order here. It begins with God. C.S. Lewis said, God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself because it's not there. There is no such thing. There's no peace unless we start by getting at peace with God. And if we're not in relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible says we're enemies of God. And we won't experience the peace that God wants us to have. It begins with a relationship with Jesus. This is what Romans 5 says, Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A relationship with Jesus, accepting what he's done for us on the cross, the forgiveness of our sins, this is the beginning, this is the foundation of peace for us. And it's peace with God. That's where it begins. So we start here. Now, you may not have peace with God because you're not in a relationship with Jesus. You can change that today. You can change that before we're done with this service. All you've got to do is take a moment and stop listening to me and talk to God and say, God, I know I don't have peace with you. I know that I've been living my life without you. I ask you to forgive me. I accept what Jesus has done for me. I want to be your child. You can do that right now. And if you need to, I hope that you will. Maybe you don't have peace with God, even though you have prayed that prayer, and you are in Christ. Maybe you're wrestling with a sin right now. Maybe there's a sin, and you know that it's not right, and you've been struggling with this, and you've been keeping it to yourself. Well, listen, God knows about it. So tell him. Confess it. Lord, I'm struggling. I'm wrestling. I got this thing going on in me, or this thing I'm doing that I know you don't approve of. I know it's hurting our relationship. I confess it to you. Forgive me. He already has. He already has forgiven you in Christ. Receive that forgiveness. Maybe you're wrestling with God. You don't have peace with God because you're mad at him. You ever get angry with God? There's a long history of people getting angry with God. Just read the Bible. Right? God, you let me down. You disappointed me. I've been waiting for this thing. It's not happening. Why are you putting me through this? I don't get it. You know, all those questions that we asked, we saw earlier, right? Okay, so I kind of indicated we should stop asking them. Well, maybe that's not quite right. Talk to God about it. Let him know how you feel. He knows already, but he's waiting. He's inviting you to share that with him like a child with their father. And when you've shared your anger, your disappointment, your hurt, your questions, just be sure to close it this way. In spite of it all, God, I trust you. I trust you. Peace with God. Peace with others. It's the second place we need to go. Romans 12, 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Two very important things. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you. We are to seek peace with all people, but not all people will desire to be at peace with us. We're not responsible for that. We're responsible on our part to be willing to have peace with all people, but we cannot make peace at any price. You know, Jesus didn't do that. One place Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace to the world. I came to bring a sword. Now, how do we make that work with everything else that we've been hearing Jesus said about peace? Well, Jesus is saying, I'm not making peace with people that reject me or with the world of evil. I'm not making peace with that. We cannot have peace at any price. We cannot make peace with things that are wrong, that are evil. We cannot make peace with human traffickers. Human traffickers need to be brought to justice. Right? These things need to stop. We can't just say it's okay, I'll be all right with it. But in our everyday relationships, the Bible does tell us we're to be willing to seek peace with others. Our hearts are about wanting peace. And there's a third, and it's peace with ourselves. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I hear people say this from time to time. I forgive other people for what they've done to me. I just can't forgive myself for what I've done. And I appreciate that's a real hard one, right? I look back at my life personally, and there are things that I am regretful about. And what do you do with that? Well, I was thinking about this. How do we forgive other people? We are honest about what they've done to us. We don't say it didn't matter. It did matter. It was important, and it hurt, right? We're honest about what's been done to us. We go to them, and we release them from our anger. Okay? And we move forward with the attitude that if they are willing and it's right, we'll live at peace with them. I think we forgive ourselves the same way. We need to be honest about what we have been and what we have done. That's what the Bible calls confession. We confess it, okay? And we repent of it, which is to say we regret it and we turn away from it, okay? We recognize that in Christ we've been forgiven for it. And we recognize that in Christ we have been made new. So we can release the anger towards that old person that we were who did those things and accept that in Jesus we have a new beginning. We have a new start. That's a process. It's a process. We don't do that in a moment or in a day. By the way, I got to tell you, peace, for me, it's normally a daily process, okay? It's normally a daily giving back to God my life and saying, I will trust you. And even this week, there's been some things that have popped up in my life, and there's been some anxiety and some concern and some worry. And I have to go back and say, Lord, I have to give this to you again. Because I don't want to live with that. I want that peace that comes with trusting you. Trusting that you're going to bring it to the right place. You're going to bring this to a good place. So this is all process. Don't be discouraged if you're struggling to find that peace today. Just continue to seek it and pursue it. We're going to pray. And I'm just going to pause because I want to pray and give you an opportunity to say something to God, if you need to, about peace with him, peace with others, and peace with yourself. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have offered us a peace that you say transcends all understanding. It just doesn't make sense in the world, but it's real, and we can have it. And you promise it to us, and we want it. We recognize that you have given us a responsibility to go after it and to find it, first of all, in you. And some of us are struggling with our relationship with you, and right now, Lord, we want to take a moment to tell you what we need to tell you that we might have peace with you. Thank you, Father. For some of us, the struggle right now this morning is with another person, an individual that we are in conflict with. Maybe somebody we've tried to create peace with, maybe somebody that we haven't wanted to have peace with. Whatever our situation, Lord, we lift that up to you now. And Lord, you know it's true. Sometimes the hardest person we have to forgive is ourselves. The guilt and the shame that we can carry can beat us down. It's not what you want for us, though. We know that. But we need your help to be free of it. And so we lift this up to you now. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Father, and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die on that cross so that we might have peace with you, peace with each other, and peace with ourselves, and one day, peace in this world. We look forward to that day, and we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our takeaway this morning is from Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace. Would you please stand? There's a benediction from the book of Numbers that I want to leave you with this morning. It goes like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. Go in the peace of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.